Grace be unto you and peace from our triune God, the God who by his power and his grace and his mercy has washed us clean of all of our sins and made us saints in his eyes. Dear fellow saints of God, I miss them. I miss seeing their face. I miss hearing their voice. I miss eating with them. I miss working with them. I miss laughing with them. I miss crying with them. I miss sitting in a boat with them. I miss sitting around a campfire with them. I miss sharing old memories with them. I miss making new memories with them. I miss hugging them. I miss shaking their hands. I miss sharing ideas with them. And yes, I even miss arguing with them. I miss worshiping with them, and I miss communing with them. I just plain miss them. How many names and how many faces just went through your mind? Whether it is a parent or a child, whether it is a spouse or a sibling, whether it is a relative or a friend, whether it is a neighbor or a coworker, we all have certain people who prompt us to say, I miss them. How do we deal with the fact that they are no longer here? Or to put it more bluntly, how do we live with the fact that they have died? That is the dilemma that we are going to discuss as we celebrate All Saints Day. Today, as we continue our sermon series entitled The Time in Between, let's see how the Lord God Almighty reminds us that the time in between the death of our loved ones and our own death is a time to focus on our future glory. The book of Revelation is a powerful dissertation on two passages of Scripture. The first passage is Acts chapter 14, verse 32, where God the Holy Spirit has his servant Paul say to you and to me, we must go through many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. We are a part of what is called the church militant, as disciples of Jesus, living in a sin-filled world. We are engaged in a spiritual battle for our soul. Every single day, the devil, the sinful world in which we live, and our own sinful nature is attacking us. They are attacking us with temptations, attacking us with questions, attacking us with doubts, all with one goal: to either drive us or lure us away from the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The second passage that we always need to keep in mind when we are looking at the book of Revelation is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. There Jesus himself guarantees to us that not even the gates of hell itself will be able to overwhelm and overcome his church, the church that is based on the rock-solid truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is a reference to the church triumphant, the church that is so beautifully described for us here in Revelation chapter 7. All Saints Day gives us an opportunity to rejoice in the church triumphant. All Saints Day gives us an opportunity to rejoice in what our loved ones, the ones that we miss so very much, are now enjoying in heaven above. And what are they enjoying? The Holy Spirit points us to three blessings here in our text for this morning. The first blessing is found in the opening verse of our text. John writes, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Whenever you are missing someone you love, take a moment to focus on where they are now. By the grace of God, they have joined that great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. by the grace of God, they are standing before the throne of God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. By the grace of God, they are standing in front of the Lamb who took away all of their sins by sacrificing himself on the altar of the cross of Calvary's Hill. By the grace of God, they are now dressed in the beautiful white robe of perfect righteousness that Jesus secured for them on the cross. They are dressed in that beautiful white robe of perfect righteousness that God the Holy Spirit gave to them when they were baptized in the name of the Triune God. And note, my friends, note very carefully what they are holding in their hands. By the grace of God, they are holding a palm branch, a symbol of victory, a sign of royalty. What a wonderful blessing our loved ones have received from the God who loves them even more than we do. The second blessing that our loved ones are enjoying right now in heaven is found in verses 10 through 12. John writes, "And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" A number of years ago, one of the students in my confirmation class asked me, "What are we going to be doing in heaven?" I told them that we will worship and praise and thank our God for all of eternity. They looked at me and said, "You mean it's going to be kind of like a church service that never comes to an end?" I laughed and said, "No, it's going to be infinitely better. For all of eternity, the saints in heaven will be proclaiming God's praise. But instead of picturing a church service that never comes to an end, it would be far better for us to picture a victory celebration that never comes to an end." Think about it. Think about the last time your all-time favorite team won the Super Bowl or March Madness. Imagine that it was your high school team that finally won the state championship. After such a glorious victory, you had a celebration. Everyone was happy. You go through the main parts, the highlights of the game. You congratulate both the players and the coaches. Everyone is having a wonderful time as you celebrate that victory. Heaven is the final, ultimate celebration of victory. And unlike any other victory celebration that we have been a part of, this celebration does not and cannot get old. Why? Because it's not just a victory celebration for just a season, but rather it's a victory celebration that lasts for all of eternity. And instead of congratulating the players and the coaches, all of the congratulations, all of the glory goes to God himself. That's why the saints in heaven proclaim, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Just as we know that because of our sins, we do not deserve to be forgiven, just as we know that we are saved purely by grace through faith in what Jesus has done for us, so also our loved ones in heaven are even more aware of the fact that they don't deserve to be living in the very presence of the Triune God. They understand that they don't deserve to be enjoying the glory and the perfection, the joy and the happiness that they have now been given. So no, my friends, praising God for all of eternity, for all of the things that he has done for us, for all of the blessings that he has freely given to us, will never, ever be boring. That blessing is made even more glorious when we stop to remember that our loved ones who died believing and trusting in Jesus, when we stop to remember that all the saints in heaven are surrounded by millions upon millions upon millions of holy angels who are also praising God and saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever heard a huge choir and orchestra perform the Hallelujah Chorus? I don't know about you, but when they get to that final Hallelujah, I've got tears of joy streaming down my face. Now imagine millions upon millions upon millions of holy angels singing praises to the God of our salvation. That's what our loved ones in heaven, that's what the saints who are in the church triumphant are experiencing and enjoying each and every day. The third blessing that I want to highlight is found in the closing portion of our text. Look at what the Holy Spirit has John tell us in verses 13 through 17. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I want to skip over verses 13 and 14 for now. We'll come back to it in just a little bit. Look at verses 15 through 17. God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle John record these words so that you and I could know that how or what our loved ones who died believing and trusting in Jesus, what they are enjoying right now in heaven above. Right now, all the saints from every nation, tribe, people, and language are enjoying a purpose that is infinitely greater and infinitely grander than any purpose they had while they were here on this earth. They have the joy, the unmitigated joy of standing before the throne of God and serving him day and night in his temple. As they are serving God in perfect bliss, they are also enjoying perfect safety, perfect security, and perfect perfection as they live safe in his heavenly tent. Let that sink in, my friends. Our loved ones who died trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the saints whom God himself has transferred from the church militant to the church triumphant, no longer have to fear any of the enemies that attacked them over and over and over again while they were here on this earth. That roaring lion can't even get anywhere near them. The temptations of this sinful world in which they once lived no longer even exist. Even their own sinful nature has been removed and relegated to the trash bin of this world. This world that is passing away. This world that is destined to be destroyed by fire. In addition to all of this, our loved ones who have died trusting in Jesus as their Savior, the saints who have been transferred from the church militant to the church triumphant, have been released from all and every effect of sin. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. How is that possible? What did they do to deserve these unmitigated, unbelievable, unparalleled blessings? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All of these glorious blessings are free gifts from the Lamb. The Lamb who came into this world to save them from their own sin. The Lamb who physically rose on Easter Sunday to proclaim, to declare, to guarantee that he is the victor over sin, death, and the devil. The Lamb who rightfully sits on his throne in his heavenly kingdom. The Lamb who leads them to springs of living water and wipes away every tear from their eyes. When we stop to contemplate all of the blessings that our loved ones who died believing and trusting in Jesus as their Savior, the blessings that they are enjoying right now, when we stop to envision the glory and the joy, the happiness and the perfection that they inherited the instant that they were transferred from the church militant into the church triumphant, then, my friends, then we realize that even though we miss them, we would never want them to leave behind everything that they have been given, only to come back to this dying and decaying world with all of its pain and all of its sorrows, all of its hardships, and all of its tribulations. So how do we deal with the pain and the loss? How do we deal with the emptiness and the loneliness that we feel now? We stay focused. We stay focused on our future glory. That brings us back to verses 13 and 14, where John tells us, "Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" A more accurate translation of the words, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation," would be, "These are they who are coming out." It's a continuous process. These are they who are coming out of the great tribulation. Contrary to what many people want to believe, the Bible does not teach, nor does it allow for any kind of rapture. There is not going to be a time when the Lord God Almighty suddenly takes all of his children out of this world and then leaves behind all the unbelievers. Every single day, God in his power, in his grace, and in his mercy takes some of his children out of the tribulations of this world and welcomes them into the glory and the joy and the happiness of his heavenly home. God already knows, my friends. God already knows when and where and how he is going to take you and me from the church militant into the church triumphant. On that day and in that moment, we will join that great multitude that no one can count. On that day and in that moment, we will receive all of the wonderful blessings that our loved ones are already enjoying. That is the future glory that we are waiting for. That is the future glory that our God has promised to us. That is the future glory that enables us to get through the pain and the loss, the loneliness and the emptiness that we feel now. It's certainly not difficult, is it? In fact, it's very easy for us to think of the names and picture the faces of all the people who prompt us to say, "I miss them." Praise God, my friends. Praise God that the separation that death brings into our life is only temporary. Praise God that through faith in what Jesus has done for us, we have the confidence of knowing that one day we will join all the saints in heaven to bring our thanks and our praise to our God forever and ever and ever. So stay focused. Stay focused on your future glory. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.